Today, as we come to the table,
we've been set free. What makes this truth wonderful, but at the same time makes it worse in some ways, is to understand that if we continue to live in sin, that we're building our own prison of slavery. You see, if slavery is sin, and we continue to live in sin, what the Bible says in essence is, we're building our own prison. The sin we're living in, if you're living in some sin today, and right now you're working on it, you're just living in it, you don't realize it, but you're working on your own chains of slavery. You're putting your own bars up that block you in and keep you from being used for what God wants you to be used for. And if you're an unbeliever, you're keeping yourself locked up from freedom in Christ and going to heaven.
We often get comfortable in our spiritual slavery. It's hard to imagine any person choosing to remain in slavery if someone offered them a way out. But freedom also bears new responsibilities, and that can be intimidating. In a spiritual sense, we may desire to be free, but we know that accepting Christ's offer of salvation will come with its own costs. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Even for many of us who are saved, we have an inclination to go back to the bondage that we've been freed from. Much like the Israelites wandering in the desert, we miss the fleeting pleasures we knew and lack the stamina and patience to wait on God's promises. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Galatians chapter 4 as he continues his message, A Child of Slavery or A Child of Freedom.
Notice what it says there in verse 21. Paul says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise," which things are symbolic. "For these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, 'Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband.' Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? 'Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman.' So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Now, we began last week looking at the difference of being a child of slavery to sin or a child of freedom in Christ, and discussed how all of us are in one camp or the other. That is, if we have given our life to the Lord and we've been born again, we're a child of freedom. If we've not given our life to the Lord and we've not been born again, we remain a child of slavery, and that is slavery to sin, because we've not been set free yet through that new birth in Jesus Christ. Remember, the Bible says all of us are born as sinners. That's just how it is. And so we're born in sin, and we also are born slaves to sin. It is through the cross that we're now free from sin. And of course, if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, although you know you're free from sin, you know there's still that draw of our own desires and our own flesh that pulls us back in from time to time. But we have the power now to be free. We've been set free. And so what makes this truth wonderful, but at the same time makes it worse in some ways, is to understand that if we continue to live in sin, that we're building our own prison of slavery. You see, if slavery is sin, and we continue to live in sin, what the Bible says in essence is, we're building our own prison. The sin we're living in, if you're living in some sin today, and right now you're working on it, you're just living in it, you don't realize it, but you're working on your own chains of slavery. You're putting your own bars up that block you in and keep you from being used for what God wants you to be used for. And if you're an unbeliever, you're keeping yourself locked up from freedom in Christ and going to heaven. True story. Not long after a wealthy contractor had finished building the Tombs Prison in New York, he was found guilty of forgery and sentenced to several years in the very prison that he had built. And as he was escorted into his cell that he had made, they said, the contractor said, I never dreamed that the very prison that I built, I would one day be an inmate in. And that is a real picture of what happens to the unbeliever as they're living the life of sin. They've put themselves in a prison they don't even realize that they're in. And I'll say this, as a believer, if you choose to live in sin, if you've walked away and God is calling you back this morning, maybe nobody knows it but you, you're also building a prison for yourself. You're living in this prison of the separation from God, the consequences that come with that. And so this morning, the Lord wants you to be free. And so there's a great description here that Paul gives as we get into this passage of the difference in being a child of the free woman and a child of the bondwoman, which Paul will explain as we get into the passage. Now, to lay the groundwork, without going into too much detail and taking us backwards, remember, he's in the middle of this battle in Galatia, where the church has been established, and they were walking free in Christ. They were having fun, they were family, they're enjoying the freedom they have through the cross in Jesus. And these people showed up, they called them Judaizers in that day. They were Jews saying, you know what, I'm glad you found Jesus. Good for you, I'm glad you're going to church. I'm glad you grew up in the South. Let's make it modernized, all right? But the bottom line is, you need to live under the rules of the Bible. You need to live under the rules of what it says in there. In essence, putting them under the law, when again, there's that moral guidance that we have, but not the legal responsibility of the law, and making them live a life of heaviness, a life of bondage. This is what Paul's in the middle of. And Paul's been making various arguments about this, and now he's gonna go into an argument today looking at Isaac and Ishmael, Sarah and Hagar, and talk about this whole picture that God gave, a real literal story that took place in the scripture and that really laid the foundation for Abraham and us being the children of Abraham, but at the same time showing that there's symbolism that the Holy Spirit built into it to show us the difference in being a child of the free woman and a child of the woman that was a slave. And so that's where we take up in verse 21, as Paul now separates these two covenants out, continuing his argument, trying to draw them back under the freedom of Christ. Look what he says in verse 21. Paul says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you hear the law? That is, you so badly want to be under the law, do you know what it says? Do you really understand what it is you're asking to do, what you want to do here in this whole picture? I mean, do you want to live in freedom or do you want to have a weight laid on your back? Again, you guys know what it's like. Sometimes in training, you'll pick up certain weights or carry heavy things during the training. Maybe you pick something up and run with it, or maybe you have those ankle bracelets, but those ankle weights. I haven't seen those in a long time. Maybe they still have them. Maybe I'm dating myself. But you used to put these things on your ankles when you run, you know, when you would run to make it harder so it was more weight on you. But you never wanted to have those things on when it came time for the race. You want to take those things off, or maybe you carry a weight around while you're doing your exercises or working through some kind of drills, you know, whatever the thing might be. But you want to take that off when the real competition comes, because you want to be free to move without any hindrance. And what Paul is saying is here, you're choosing now to put weights back on yourself after the Lord has taken the weights off of you, and you're putting yourself back under a burden. Do you really understand what it is you're saying? Do you really understand what it is that you're doing? And it reminds me of the same mindset Jesus had from the cross when he said this, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so Paul is saying, you guys don't realize what you're doing. It sounds spiritual. You know, there's something about following religious rules that makes us feel like we're doing something good before God. And there's something in there. I know I did good. I did all the things I was supposed to do, and so now God's happy. And yet, God is blessed when you bless him and you try to please him, but it's not something you can earn to be in some better standing with the Lord in heaven. You're in the family. You're a child of God. You're already part of the family. There's nothing you have to do to earn that. You just simply have to enjoy it and again, learn to do your part, what you're called to do. But that's ministry. That's not, again, a burden or being carrying a weight around trying to please God in heaven by your efforts. And so Paul will now use this well-known biblical story about Sarah and Hagar to show that it also has a symbolism to it that demonstrates the radical difference between the two, the one leading to bondage and the one leading to freedom. Notice what he says in verse 22. He says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman and the other by the free woman. Again, there's Hagar and Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he who was of the free woman through the promise, which things are symbolic. So notice he points out that Abraham had two sons. Again, Ishmael and Isaac, one of the flesh, or of Abraham and Sarah's doing, and one of the supernatural of God's doing. And God had given a supernatural promise of a son because Sarah was barren. She couldn't have children. And God said, I'm going to give you a son. Just trust me to do it in my timing. And so this was the one born of heaven, which was Isaac, and this miracle in Sarah's barrenness. The other one they did, as I said, on their own, born of the earth, born of their own fleshly efforts, which was Ishmael. Now again, here's the story. You remember the scene. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I've given you a beautiful wife, Sarah. Sarah was barren, and he knew, I don't know at what point in there he knew that Sarah was barren, but they weren't able to have children. And he said, I'm going to give you a son. So Abraham is rejoicing. God's going to give us a son. He runs, no doubt, straight to Sarah and says, God told me he's going to give us a son. And she's like, but Abraham, I'm barren. I can't have children. God said it. God's going to do it. And so she, no doubt, was encouraged. And they're like, all right, here we go. We're going to have a son. And so a month goes by, not pregnant yet. 2 months goes by, not pregnant yet. 3 months, finally we get to 6 months, and Sarah's starting to think, you know, I wonder whether or not Abraham really heard right. What we're going to find is they didn't have Isaac until 25 years later. You ever felt God's promised something to you that just hasn't happened yet? Guys, if you're like me, text me. Fax it. Go to the drive-up window. It's like, I don't have 25 years. There's stuff that's got to get done. And God's like, this is my timing, not yours. I'm going to work in your life, but I'm going to do it my way, in my timing. Did I make a promise? Yes, Lord, you did. Then rest. But I don't like waiting. I don't know of many people that like waiting. I don't know. Maybe some of you are saying, I like waiting. That's unusual. Congratulations. Most of us are, I want it right now. I mean, some of you, you know, we're thinking about right now what you're going to be doing later in the day. Clear your mind out and get it back here. Because we're impatient. We want to move forward to the next thing. We're always moving, moving, moving. And so Sarah, again, a year goes by, 2 years, 3 years, you know, all this time goes by. And she's like, look, finally she goes to Abraham and she says, Abraham, look, I know that you feel God told you that. And I know you have this special relationship with God and all, but maybe God wants us to do it a different way. I mean, why don't you marry Hagar and have a child through her, and then that'll be our baby from God. In other words, without saying it, maybe we need to help God out a little bit. I know he made the promise, but let's step in and see if we can't help this thing out. Now, understand, that may sound unusual. And by the way, if that happened today in somebody's family, that would be very unusual. That would not be normal. But in that day, in that culture, they could actually marry multiple wives, concubines. They would have taken another, they call them a concubine, kind of a lesser wife, but still a wife. And it was accepted in that culture, and you could have a child, and the child was considered yours, which, by the way, sometimes I hear people say, why did God let them do that? These men like Abraham and David and all these Old Testament saints, why didn't God bring any consequences on them for doing that? Listen, if any of you men marry multiple wives, you're not going to avoid all the consequences. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way. Here's what happened. Sarah and Hagar, they got really jealous. And they were hating each other, and they were fighting each other, and Abraham had to live with that. Listen, when you go back and read the story, look at Jacob's life. When Jacob had these wives that he had, they were all in jealousy. They were all fighting. There was this battle. Listen, none of these guys got away with having multiple wives. They all faced consequences for that, great consequences, fighting among their children, fighting among their wives, extra stress and tension in the home. And so there's the proper balance. Does everybody feel better now? But that is exactly what I was trying to say. Listen, this was not something God approved of. God didn't approve of him having multiple wives. God said, I'm giving you the promise. It's coming through Sarah. But here's what happens. When God doesn't do things in our timing, we often get impatient and we try to make it happen. Have you ever done that? And the problem is, whenever you try to make something happen, even if it's a promise of God and it's not God's timing yet, there's going to be consequences. There's going to be problems. And this is exactly what happened here. Well, what happened? The child was born. First was Ishmael. And at that time, Ishmael didn't seem to be a big problem, but suddenly now that she had a baby and Sarah didn't, there's kind of this jealousy thing, and you know what? I can have a baby and you can't. And he's my husband too. Maybe you had him first, but I gave him a child, and you see what's happening. Okay, this anger begins to kind of build underneath, and she begins to look at Sarah, and Sarah feels mocked, and Sarah is mocked, and then she raises up this mocker with her, Ishmael. He starts mocking as well, and Sarah, no doubt, is in torment. And finally, the Lord shows up with a couple of angels about 24 years into this promise. And I think Ishmael's somewhere around, you know, 12 years old, 13 years old. And all of a sudden, he shows up and says, now you're going to have the baby. And remember the whole story. Sarah is behind the tent door. She laughs. Come on, I can't have a baby. If I had one, it had been 24 years ago, and I can't have one now. Now I'm a grandma. I mean, I was barren then. Now I'm barren by age. What do you think? And the Lord says, did you laugh? And, no, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did laugh. Kind of an interesting scene there. You don't know why that's so important to correct. Yes, you laughed. I heard you. And he points that out. Then what happens? A year later, she has the baby. Now they're rejoicing. God fulfilled his promise. It wasn't in their timing, but it was in God's timing. And they name him Laughter. What a great name for a baby like that, a promise of God that many years. Isaac means laughter. So, but here's what happens. That doesn't make everything okay. Now the jealousy only gets worse. Because, you see, Hagar and Ishmael know that God had made a promise that they thought probably was never going to come to pass, which means they would be the one getting the inheritance. Suddenly, Golden Boy shows up. We don't like Golden Boy. And this anger and this mockery and the looks and the picking on the younger brother and the bitterness. And finally, Sarah goes, that's it. I'm not putting up with this. Get rid of her. And Abraham says, get rid of her? What do you mean? I mean, you gave her to me. I mean, and then now there's this, you know, child here. What do you mean get rid of her? He loved his child. And no doubt he had feelings for Hagar to some degree, not like he did Sarah, but I mean, it would be hard to enter into another marriage relationship and not have some type of feelings. And the Sarah goes, no, get rid of him. And then God speaks to Abraham and says, Abraham, she's right. Get rid of him. Because it's causing problems here. These two can't coexist. There's a problem in this. And again, it's very interesting, you know, that he wanted to hang on to it because there's a real picture in that. And us, God will come to us oftentimes when we have birthed something in the flesh. By the way, how many of you have given birth to an Ishmael? What do you mean by that? I've done it. Tried to make something happen before the time, tried to do something in my own ability that God wasn't doing, and I give birth to an Ishmael, and all it does is cause problem after problem after problem. I'm not picking on Ishmael and their descendants. God loves the Arab peoples, and God has a place for them in the kingdom. If they come to Jesus Christ through the cross, they will have an eternal inheritance, and God loves them. This is not about picking on a certain people group. I'm using a symbolic example. If you do something according to the flesh that God hadn't called you to do, you're going to give birth to an Ishmael, and you're going to pay the consequences of giving birth to an Ishmael. But here's the other thing, when you start allowing the flesh to lead your life rather than the Lord, you want to hang on to it, don't you? Sarah, I don't want to get rid of this. This is something that's a big part of my life. Get rid of it. And there may be something you've given birth to, even as a believer. And God is saying, this morning, it's time to let it go. Right now, let it go. You're done with it. Get rid of it. And God is saying that to you right now, and you're going, but I love it. I want to hang on to it. No, because here's what's happening. It's causing a fight between righteousness and unrighteousness, between what's right and what's wrong, between the Spirit of God and the spirit of the world. It's time to let it go, and it's time to let it die. And so God is dealing with Abraham here, and yet this is a much different thing. This is his child. It is his another wife, if you will, under that culture. But at the same time, it's very, I think, symbolic of just letting go of that flesh, putting things away that we know are not going to be any good for us. And again, the longer we hold on to it, the worse it's going to get. And if Abraham had continued to hold on, it would have only gotten worse and worse and worse. And God said, no, there's something much larger going on here. I love Hagar. I love Ishmael. I'm going to make them a great nation. There'll be 12 princes. By the way, the direct descendants are Saudi Arabia, as well as other Arab people spread out. Look how God has blessed the nation of Saudi Arabia. Now, they don't know God. They don't have that's a curse, if you will, but the blessings of this earth, if you will, one of the wealthiest nations, if not the, in the world. And so the bottom line is God said, I'm going to bless them and I love them, but I'm going to also give a picture here of how the children of the Lord cannot cohabitate with the children of the world. There's a separation there. And the only way they're going to be able to come together is for the children of the world to be born again and brought into the family of God. And it's the same thing we do today when we give our life to the Lord. We're children of the world. We're children of Ishmael and Hagar until we're brought in. And he's going to point out later, even as they were persecuted, we are persecuted for our faith. And maybe we used to persecute people for what they believed about the Bible. Oh, you don't believe the Bible literally. Oh my goodness. How stupid can you be? You believe it literally. You think that's really the word of God? Yeah, I do. Yeah, you're as dumb as I thought. Why? Because they're Ishmael and I'm Isaac. Don't you get it? See, this is predictable. And what Paul is saying to them, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. The same thing is still happening today. And I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get to that in more detail in just a moment. But the bottom line is, you see what they did was they got in the flesh and they gave birth to an Ishmael. And we talked about our consequences from a birth to an Ishmael. Listen, you want to see consequences of a real birth to Ishmael, the real Ishmael? Look at the Middle East today. When you turn your TV on and you see all the fires and bombs and explosions and fighting, you know what that is? That's still Ishmael fighting Isaac today. These are the descendants of Abraham, his two sons, and they're fighting each other. It's almost like this family inheritance. And they're realizing, you know what? I want the inheritance without doing it the way the father said. See, Ishmael wants the inheritance without coming through the cross. God said, Ishmael, you can have the inheritance. It's yours as well. There's plenty of room in the kingdom, but it's got to come through the cross. Isaac is going to come through the cross. Isaac is currently under the law. But Isaac will come through the cross as God pours his spirit out on the nation of Israel in the last days. And many Jews throughout history have been saved as they've come through the cross. And this whole battle is going on about who it belongs to. Look at the land today. It's my land. No, it's my land. No, it's my land. No, you're an occupier. No, you're the Ishmael and Isaac. Sarah and Hagar, it's still going on. And God says, look, I've given the inheritance. I've chosen the way this is going to happen. And all are welcome through the cross and through Jesus Christ if you'll just believe. But it's the same battle going on. So don't ever think that your little sin doesn't affect people after you, because it does. And again, this whole Middle East problem that we have today, this battling over the land, and what is eventually going to turn the entire world against the nation of Israel, was born right here with Abraham and Hagar and the child by the name of Ishmael. Amazing, amazing. And it's not going to be settled until the Lord comes back. And again, a strong warning to us to make sure we're not giving birth to Ishmaels and we're waiting on the Spirit of God. Let God do it his way, and God will bring the blessed consequences, if you can put it that way, rather than the cursed consequences that we bring on ourselves. And so a beautiful picture here and a very clear picture of what's going on in the spirit. Something symbolic here between the two. Verse 24, he says, these are symbolic, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem. That is the Jerusalem living under the law, even as Mount Sinai where the law was given, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above, that is the new Jerusalem in heaven, when Jesus comes back, and the one that we're born into is the family of God, it is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren. Again, speaking of Sarah there typologically, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Hey, you know what? Hagar got a child, okay? I get it. But Sarah, if you'll wait on God, you'll have a kingdom and multitudes of nations. God's going to bless you beyond your wildest dream. And what a picture that is for us. If we try to get what we can down here, that's all we get. But we have the kingdom awaiting for us if we trust in the Lord. And notice he says there are two covenants in verse 24. One representing the old and one representing the new in Jesus. And he goes on to show the picture more clearly where the law was given. And this is interesting to me because he says the law was given there on Mount Sinai, which again came with a cloud and fire and was harsh and very fearful, as the people said, you know, Moses, you talk to God. We can't handle all this. And the difference in that and the cross, where all of the fierceness and harshness went on Jesus, and we received gentleness and forgiveness. See, the law puts you under harshness and fear. Am I going to get into heaven or am I not? Am I making God happy or am I not? What's going on? And Jesus said, just come to me. You're forgiven. And there's grace and there's love and there's mercy and you're a part of the family. And notice he says this Mount Sinai gives birth to bondage or slavery. That is, by trying to follow or keep the law, you're giving yourself a birth of slavery to rules and regulations, which Paul says here symbolizes Hagar and Ishmael. And Hagar was a slave in Abraham's household.
The book of Galatians is a good reminder of what really matters. It's a book about being freed from your sinful lifestyle, and that freedom will open up the world to you so you can walk in God's will for your life unhindered. Now, that doesn't mean you can just do whatever you want, because we all know that will take you to a place away from God. But the closer you get to Jesus, you'll notice your thinking and desires will change for the better. If you're truly seeking Him in all things and walking in a way that pleases Him, you end up being freed up from what's holding you back. As Pastor Mark reminds us, knowing and following Jesus is life-changing. Some people think that they have to give up everything they really enjoy if they commit to Christ, but that's exactly the opposite. Whatever God asks you to lay down is because it's harmful or hurtful. He always replaces it with something better. All you need to do is surrender to Jesus and trust that He'll take care of the rest. We realize it might not seem that easy in your head or heart, so please reach out to us if you have questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. We hope you'll take that leap of faith into a more fulfilling life. And we hope you'll join us for more expository truths for the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.